Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 266 of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Dr. Kevin Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And, you know, it has been a year since I last roamed a convention hall. It honestly feels strange going this long without having seen many of my friends or going to concerts and plays. Even though 12 full months have gone by, it honestly feels like time has been frozen in place since last March. I turned 36 a couple of months back, but my brain still thinks I'm 35. Anyways, there's hope that normalcy will return sometime later this year, given now that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine has just been approved. So with there now being three vaccines out there in America, with many more doses being spread across the country, there's now no reason for you to not get one when your turn comes around. The sooner we all vaccinate, the sooner we can get back to going out and having fun and attending events and not having to socially distance. But we all need to work as a team to get it done. And I sincerely hope you'll do the right thing when it comes time for you to get your dosage. So, on today's episode of No Borders, No Race, the anime rom-com genre evolves with a wonderful new series, and Disney brings some fantastical magic to their own little home. Plus, on this week's Bastard Soapbox, I'm taking down a certain Australian pop singer who's been doing more damage than good with her directorial debut. Oh, you fucking know what I'm talking about. But first, let's start this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a new song from Da Pump, who you may remember for their opening theme to the series Welcome to Demon School, Iruma-kun, which is set to return this April. Da Pump will be doing the opening theme for it once more, but for now, here's their most recent song. It is called Dream on the Street.
You'll be punching,
snap your fingers,
raising magic,
get up in this,
midnight dancing,
move your body,
princess and prince,
everybody,
musical dancing, It's a side story, no, 誰もが主役さ。そこにはめいめい笑いや、涙があってすげえそうだ。
Hey!
To the one that you- marching.
Snap your
fingers. Raising magic.
Get up in this.
Midnight dancing.
Move your body.
Prince is sampling.
Move your body.
안폐하다 겐주투와 니부진나코토모 니와 알루사 세수도 있다 실패와 매사사나그때인다 퍼펙 아메와 니진노겔로 가사와 플라워스 기도하시다와 할렐루야 단언니와 가모구에
대화리모 가게되어
이제 벌리와 행정 Ladies and gentlemen
Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
Perfume with Tenku from 2018's Future Pop. Perfume was supposed to go big for their 20th anniversary last year, but you know what happened. Here's hoping that they get to celebrate with their fans in some fashion once this whole pandemic is over. Now, as you may know, I love anime rom-coms, but they can sometimes go the same route. Boy meets girl, one falls in love with the other, and then vice versa, and then it takes 13 to 26 episodes to get a love confession out, followed by them finally holding hands. It's the same old song, but I keep falling for it because each series changes up how the characters go from strangers to couples. Although we should thank the gods for a show like Kaguya-sama Love is War, which seems to just poke fun of that sort of storytelling and gives it the identity of a thriller. Anywho, I'm seeing more anime rom-coms steering away from this formula, going so far as to make the coupling happen at episode 1. Tonikawa Over the Moon for You was a great example of a show that made the pair a couple right at the get-go, having them literally getting married before the end credits rolled on the first episode. Of course, such a premise is not quite realistic, although the duo of Nasa and Tsukasa are a couple that almost any person would dream of emulating. But this season, there's Horimiya, and oh my god, does Horimiya do a phenomenal job with its narrative. So the show is named for the main two characters in the show, Hori and Miyamura. Hori is the popular girl, whereas Miyamura looks to keep to his nerdy self. Until one day, Hori's little brother Sota comes home injured, with Miyamura actually revealed to not being the geeky type. No. He's got tattoos and piercings, which completely jolts Hori when she sees his true self. However, thanks to his interaction with Sota, Miyamura finds himself becoming part of Hori's family. What starts as a friendship quickly blossoms into love. They hold hands, they hug, they kiss, they have sex! And it's all done at a pace that's fairly realistic. Horimiya is great because it's about characters who find their true selves, be it by their own means or via the help of their friends. Miyamura was a loner for almost his entire life until Sota found a way to pull him into Hori's circle. Hori, on the other hand, had the popularity and brains, but behind the scenes, it's clear that these aspects don't come to her naturally. She works her tailbone off to be good in school. The secondary characters are also just as fulfilling. You have Toru, who gets rejected by Hori in the beginning, but still finds a way to be friends with her and Miyamura. Hori's friend Yuki has a crush on Miyamura, but only in his true self and not his nerdy school self. It's a long process. Read the manga to get the whole idea. We have female student Honoka, who not only has a crush on Hori, but also is neighbors with Miyamura. There is also Kakeru and Remy, who... You know, I'm really doing Horimiya a disservice by having to explain the show, so let me try to spell it out as simple as I can. Horimiya is very funny. It's very heartwarming. It's dramatic. It's got so many things in it that make for a good rom-com. But the thing that makes it stand out from the rest of the anime pack is that the relationships are built at a normal, realistic pace, and not at the speed of a snail like most anime comedies do. So please, if you haven't watched it yet, go on the Funimation and watch Horimiya. It's one of the best new shows airing on TV right now. On top of that, you can read the manga via Yen Press, which is concluding this month. There's also a live-action version of Horimiya currently airing in Japan, but I have no idea if that's ever coming to America. It would be nice, but for now, check out the anime adaptation of Horimiya, because not since Kimi no Todoke has there been a rom-com that has had me this invested in a couple's journey. For the love of God, please watch it. And now, we take you down to the country of Brazil, which our buddy AFLM of Wicked Anime has told me has a very vibrant metal scene. Here's such an example of Brazilian metal in the form of newcomers Pentrol, whose debut album, What Lies Ahead of Us, arrives this May. This is a little taste of what's to come in the form of a song about a man, a woman, and an army that invades their home in the woods. This is Silent Trees.
Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITHINKTHISISGREAT.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Metal Galaxy, that was Baby Metal featuring F-Hero with Papaya. Baby Metal are still in the midst of celebrating its 10th anniversary, which has seen the release of special compilations, merch, and rebroadcasts of some of their classic shows. Here's hoping to 10 more years. As someone who likes to try to find alternatives to Harry Potter, seeing as J.K. Rowling ain't getting my money anytime soon, It's nice to see Disney step up to the plate with its own mystical series that embraces those who are different, especially when it comes to LGBTQ inclusion. That show is The Owl House, whose first season is now up on Disney Plus for everyone to watch, and whose second season is coming sometime in the future. It's in the works, I don't know. Anyways, The Owl House follows Luz, a human teenage girl whose out-of-the-box ways gets her into trouble. Her mom sends her to a summer camp for delinquents, only for Luz to be whisked away to a new world filled with magic and mystery. Yes, she gets isekai'd, but not by Dracoon. There she meets Etta Clawthorne, a renegade witch best known as the Owl Lady. With Etta's help, alongside the adorable Skullface King and the talking house demon Hootie, Luz learns the ways of the new world and finds herself becoming a student at the Witch Academy Hexside. One of the things that the Owl House gets done right is its characters. There's a lot of homages to anime, with Ida's attitude and appearance inspired by the likes of Ryoko from Tenchi Muyo, but it's the can-do attitude of Luz that makes each episode of The Owl House both fun and endearing. She was an outcast in the human world, so finding her place in this magical realm is a lot easier than one can imagine. She also just so happens to be Disney's first ever bisexual lead character, with rival witch Amity the first major lesbian character in the Disney series. But don't worry, it does not go the Steven Universe route when it comes to showcasing sexual orientations. Truth be told, the feelings for these characters are presented as the norm, which should be as such. There's no magical song and dance segment about a character coming to terms with their identity. They find out who they are, and the rest of the world accepts it. It's a very nice change of pace and a showcase of how the norm should be in real society. The focus on the Owl House, though, is the magical elements, which go in a similar route to Studio Trigger's Little Witch Academia. Luz is basically Akko, a human who must learn from the ground up to do magic and spells. It leads to some great comedy, some top-notch action, and the occasional drama here and there. She makes some great friends like Willow and Gus, who have their own share of troubles both within and outside the realm of magic. And the more Luz, Willow, and Gus push their way through the ranks at their school, the more they start turning heads. However, some of those heads aren't exactly the ones you'd like to gain the attention of. The Owl House is a great series that any kid, teen, and even adult will fully enjoy, as it's filled with great comedy and relatable life lessons. The voice cast is also fantastic, with Wendy Malick playing Etta perfectly. Hopefully, the wait for season 2 won't be for much longer, as I'm itching to see how Luz evolves into a better master of magic. Also, I need more of my king, which... Hey, Disney, can you make some damn king plushies? They will sell like crazy. I'll buy 3 of them if you do. But yes, watch The Owl House on Disney+. It's another reason why Disney has entered another golden age of television animation not seen since the original Disney Afternoon in the early 90s. Right then, let's play some more music. Polysix have come back into the spotlight thanks to their contributions to the series Cells at Work, Code Black. Right now, we're going to go all the way back to their 2001 debut American album, Hey, Bob, My Friend, which featured tracks from their first 2 Japanese albums. Here's Monsoon.
Hey! It's the Mike Rogers Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special. And I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgold. And you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese... and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show. Yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
From our 2011 album of the year pick, David Comes to Life, that was Fucked Up with Inside a Frame. Hard to believe they released that 10 years ago. Damien is still one of my favorite people that I got to interview. But Fucked Up are back with a new album this year with Year of the Horse as part of its Zodiac series. Year of the Horse will be a song told in four massive parts. And if you have already heard the first part, you know that you're going to be in for a hell of a ride. Instrumental post-rock band Mono will be releasing a new live album recorded in London with the Platinum Anniversary Orchestra entitled Beyond the Past, which celebrates the band's 20th anniversary. Right now, we're going to play a selection from their 2014 album, The Last Dawn, which was released alongside Ray of Darkness. This is Cyclone.
Thank you. No need for clickbait, paywalls, or shilling around. At Scarlet Rhapsody, we are an independent web zone covering conventions across the country. Scarlet Rhapsody breaks it down for you. The guests, the dealers, the culture, the cosplay, the trending fandoms, and what makes a convention worth the price of admission. Are you convention cultured? You will be. Visit us on the web at scarlet-rhapsody.com, Facebook at Scarlet Rhapsody Media, Twitter at Cons and Churros, YouTube at Scarlet Rhapsody Convention Cultured, and remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. See you at the con.
Throwback to one of the greatest anime soundtracks ever made, The Seatbelts, with Want It All Back from the second Cowboy Bebop soundtrack, No Disc. And hopefully this year, we will finally see if that live-action Cowboy Bebop series on Netflix will be, you know, good. If it is, great. If not, well, it doesn't erase the original in any way. And now, folks, if you know me well, then you know that this was coming. It's time for another edition of A Bastard Soapbox. Once in a great while, I bring up the fact that I am on the autism spectrum. I was diagnosed at the age of 2 and spent a huge part of my youth in occupational therapy, speech therapy, and even a little physical therapy to correct a lot of the issues that autism sometimes causes. And while I still have a couple of flaws, like sensitivity in all of my senses and the occasional zoning out period, I live pretty much like the average person. However, there's a big reason why I only talk about my autism once in a great while, and that is because of the stigma that it brings. For decades now, the mere mention of being autistic brings to mind things like fits, tantrums, stemming, nonverbal aggravations, and a plethora of other things that don't represent the level of autism that I have. In fact, I know quite a few people who were recently diagnosed at the age of 20 and over, and they're a lot more average in their mindset than I am. Now, one of the biggest reasons why people's perspective of autism is wrong is because of how we're portrayed in the media. On top of having an organization like Autism Speaks that does nothing but demonize the disorder, practically every movie, TV show, and even video game that has had someone portraying someone on the spectrum is shown as someone on the lower levels. In my 36 years of living, I have never seen a portrayal of someone with autism that I've ever felt comfortable with. Your Rain Mans, your Silent Falls, your Mercury Risings, your Good Doctors, your I Am Sams. And now, to add to this list is quite possibly the greatest abomination of all. Music. As a lot of people know, singer Sia made a movie about a woman that takes care of her autistic half-sister. And it is all kinds of fuck-awful. Now let me be clear, I've not seen this film in its entirety because I've seen enough clips to know how bad it is. There's this absolute tone deafness of not having an actual person with autism playing the character, with the actress Sia choosing basically doing autism blackface. The message about using force to hold down the character when she has a meltdown is just wrong on so many, many levels. And Sia's response to those on the spectrum who are offended by this movie isn't just silent. She's looking right at us and giving us all the finger. Last year, I was pissed off about Pixar's short film Loop and its awful ableist view of autism. And that's a film I could only watch for 2 minutes before shutting it off and finding some abyss to scream into. Music makes me want to find where C is at and fucking slap her. And I am 100% certain that everyone else who has seen what she did for this film and how she has responded to this criticism would feel exactly the same way. For her to have this attitude and this tone deafness, Sia has gone from being one of the most respected musicians on the planet to being nothing but a cunt. For too long, people on the autism spectrum have been portrayed negatively by the media. Every story in fiction that has a character with autism is shown to being a lost cause, or some human equivalent of a puppy to make everyone else feel better for themselves. Music is just like every one of these other films, and it does no service to people on the spectrum. In fact, it does the opposite. It opens us to being mocked more, to being ostracized more, and worst of all, being harmed more mentally and physically. This portrayal of autism has to stop. Hollywood and the rest of the Western entertainment world has gone too far with its portrayal, and they have told far too many stories of people on this very low level of the spectrum. I talked about this 2 years ago, by the way, and the fact that the progress has not only not been made, but it's gone backwards thanks to Sia's movie Music. It's just frustrating, and I have no idea when someone will actually step up to the plate and do it right. Well, with that being said, I'm actually tired of waiting. And if no one else will speak for you, you gotta speak for yourself. As of this recording, I have been working on and off again on a limited series that puts the focus on a character with high-functioning autism. He's not the main character, he's like the second on the bill. I don't want to go into too much detail about it, but this is a show that combines my knowledge of living with autism with my loves of Japanese music and culture and the punk rock scene. And I mean like fucked up punk music and Titus Andronicus punk music. You know, none of that fake bubblegum shit that they try to pass as punk in the early 2000s. I have 2 episodes written out in full and I'm almost done with episode 3. The show Bible is about done, with character bios and episode outlines all finished, and most of the song lyrics done. I've also been showing my progress to a friend who's worked on various Netflix productions and the recent Aaron Sorkin movie, and she's been liking what I've been writing. Not to brag. I mean, I'm not bragging at all, I'm just saying that she's been liking what I've been writing. I don't know if it'll come to be, but I am working my ass off to try to get it out there. And you know, I am certain that there are other autistic writers that are attempting to get their voices heard. And Hollywood, you need to start listening to them. Even if the scripts aren't perfect and need a little tweaking, please start by giving them a shot. I am sick and tired of having to see all these bad portrayals of people with autism over and over again. And seeing how many other writers on the spectrum have felt about Sia's music, that sickness has become contagious. Do us right, or don't even bother attempting to try at all. Because your failed attempts just keep making things worse for us. And now I shall step off of my soapbox and call it a day for this segment. Remember, these are just my thoughts and viewpoints, and not of those of the Electric Sisterhood, Wicked Anime, Nerdy Show, or anybody else. But I do think you are more than likely to agree on my stance here. So if you do, please share this podcast around so people can understand how I'm feeling, how we are all feeling about this. So from there, let's go back to the playlist. Let's play some more songs. We've got a little biker punk in the form of Arrows to Fire, who come to us direct from Austin, Texas. This is their latest single that goes faster than the speed of sound. It's I'm Supersonic.
Can't help but scream, you know, 7D4 cubic inches. If you know Amanda, and together we're Black Compat. We're a growing community focused on diversity, inclusion, representation, conversation, and fun on Twitch. Wanna be fam?
For chill community vibes, Wednesday nights at 7, join BC Row for the Wednesday Wind Down.
Friday nights, join us for Let's Plays, where we explore narrative and single-player campaign games. Stop by on Fridays at 7. Catch our flagship podcast, The Tribunal, live every other Sunday at 3 p.m., where we talk about issues that are important to us as Black women.
Issues like representation, inclusion, diversity, and more within the video games and entertainment industries. Check our channel and social handles to find out when a new Tribunal is going to drop.
We've got even more content on our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter handles, and our website, blackcompat.com.
So join in the conversation in whatever way you like at Black Compat. Remember, always and.
Never or.
All times are Eastern.
Classic from the 1960s, that was Kaoru Hibiki with Taiyo ga Kowai no. She would release a couple more singles throughout the 60s until the 70s before disappearing God knows where. I honestly looked through every search engine imaginable, but it appears Kaoru Hibiki simply just faded back into society. You know, it happens, especially with one-hit wonders and the like. そして今皆さん、 今週の日本語要約の時間です。さあ、行こう! Shinsaku anime series Horimiyo wa romantic comedy desu. Character ga subarashi daki de naku, shinko pesu ga realu ni kanji uraremasu. ここでのホリソンとミラムラソンの関係は他の過去のシリーズよりも進歩しているように感じられます。これは関係が始まった時にアニメのロマンス語物語を正しく終わらせるのをやめるチョコであることを願っています。 ディズニーのアウルハウスは魔法とシーズン両方の多様性を提供します。作成者がひどい人物になったハリー・ポッターシリーズに変わる素晴らしい番組です。面白くて心温まる。そしてディズニー最初は LGBTQ コミュニティの二人の主人公を紹介しています。順調に進んでおり、アウルハウスをもっと見るのを楽しみです。最後に、シアンの新作映画ミュージカルは自閉症の人々のひどい描写作品の一つです。ハリウッドが私たちは何かを失ったかのように見せびらかす方法にうんざりします。いわゆる擁護者ではなく、実際の自閉症の声を聞き始める必要があります。私は自閉症のキャラクターをフィーチャーした独自のシリーズを書くためのステップを踏んでいるので、ここでそれを歌えることができることを願っています。My thanks again to my teacher, Mikio Hattori-sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. And with that finished, let's play a couple more songs. Here is the latest single from Vicky Blanca, who you may remember from their end theme contributions to Fruits Basket and Double Decker, Doug and Kiru. This is their latest song entitled Ponytail.
風がほんのり香りをつけて二人を ponytail を揺らしながら君は春を告げる僕の胸を何度も震わせる言葉じゃ届かないところまで今信じられない
In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Hey, Bob, I'm looking at what Jack was talking about, and it's definitely not a particle that's nearby. It is a bright object, and it's obviously rotating because it's flashing. It's way out in the distance. Apparently rotating in a very rhythmic fashion because the flashes come around almost on time. As we look back at the Earth, it's up at about 11 o'clock, about maybe 10 or 12 Earth diameters. I don't know whether that does you any good, but there's something out there.
from 2013's Random Access Memories, that was Daft Punk with Contact, the very last song the duo would make together before their unfortunate breakup just a couple of weeks ago. Though we may never hear anything new from Daft Punk in the future, we should at least be grateful for the amazing music they created for us all to enjoy. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Pentrel and Arrows to Fire, made possible by Seamus Promotion PR, and a very special thank you to Arsenic Tea Party for their contribution to last week's Shameless Tuesdays. Please be sure to check out their most recent EP, The Really Not Good Times. It is amazing. Today, I'm in the mood to end things with some Guitar Wolf. This is the title track to their 2007 album, which was the first to have Ugg play bass on. This is Dead Rock. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. We'll be right back. guys. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.